Thank you.
Jody.
Okay, so that ends our portion of recommendation items. Number 8 is the 2021 third quarter dashboard, which is informational.
Matt.
Thank you. With your permission, I will share my screen again and we'll go through our dashboard report. So this is our third quarter dashboard. Not very many substantial changes to the second quarter dashboard report. We're really still on track with a lot of the same surplus items and deficit items as we had reported back in September. The one major item that I'd like to point out here is in this top left quadrant. We're currently the county is projecting a major fringe benefit surplus. And in this report, we had $2 million anticipated for that line item. We heard earlier this week that surplus that DHD will benefit from could be as much as $3.8 million. So we could get even more favorable by the end of the year. So that's some very good news that we're continuing to see surplus there. The county is self-insured for health insurance costs. I think we're continuing to see employees defer some of their healthcare expenses, and we are also seeing more staffing vacancies than usual as well. Some highlights here in the lower right quadrant. We're continuing to move forward with our FQHC partnerships. As Heidi just spoke to, we're co-locating our RAP Wellness Clinic with the Hyatt Pharmacy and Shopee Plaza. Our CSP AOT team received certification, so that's very good news. Moving forward with our crisis stabilization redesign, and we are continuing to be over budget with our state institute costs with placements at Mendota Mental Health Institute. Moving on to adult inpatient, as we've really known all year, we're continuing to struggle with our revenue against budget, really just driven by the fact that we have had a very low census all year, initially driven by the pandemic, and now simply by a staffing shortage. And this is a census that was not anticipated in the 2021 budget, but we have level set this in the 2022 budget, so we think that we are on track to meet our 2022 revenue budget targets. As you can see here in the lower left quadrant, our payer mix remains healthy. We always like to see the HMO, Medicaid HMO clients, because we receive reimbursement for those clients in a way that we don't for the non-HMO clients. We actually have a higher portion of HMO clients in 2021 than we've ever had at 38%. So our payer mix is very healthy. Our write-off is healthy. It's really just our population, our census is under budget. We were a little optimistic with recovery from the pandemic and recovery with our staff when we initially put this budget together in May of 2020. So as you can see here, as in the lower right quadrant, as our census decreases, our cost per patient per day really increases. One item I'd like to point out to the group here, since most of our revenue is Medicaid, we are really dependent on that per diem Medicaid rate from the state. The state made some assumptions in the 2022 rate setting process, and for the first year ever, didn't use the previous fiscal year's financials. They used the 2 year ago financials for rate setting 2019, thinking that that was 2020 was an odd year, probably a variable or probably an outlier for most hospitals. So that's actually led to a slight rate decrease for Milwaukee County as our cost per client per day continues to increase. We are in the process of protesting that rate and are waiting to hear back from the state if they are going to reconsider their rate setting methodology for us in 2022. Moving down to our child and adolescent unit, similar to inpatient, struggling with the census over our maybe optimistic budget assumptions, and similar as the census decreases, our cost per client is increasing. So similar story here, where it's payer mix is very healthy, at least healthy for our historical norms, really just struggling with our census, and will continue to struggle through closure. But we feel that our projections, our estimates, and our 2022 budget are more in line with our current experience. PCS, our psychiatric emergency room, we are seeing a decrease in our or a slight downward trend from 2019 in our visits per month, but it's relatively level since early 2022, as you can see here in this upper right quadrant. No major concerns from the expense or revenue generation perspective in this program. Wraparound Milwaukee, on a whole, we're expecting a $1.7 million deficit. This is driven by a couple factors. It may have been a little optimistic in the tax levy contribution in the budget. We are expecting a deficit in the HMO program. Right now, we are seeing, and we spoke about this at last meeting, and we can speak about it a little later, seeing a lot of requests for rate increases across the board. A lot of our providers are having trouble even maintaining minimum staffing levels for the services that they provide. We have extended a rate increase to our care coordination providers. We reached out to the state with this concern, and we were actually offered a prospective rate increase to cover half of the costs of the rate increase that we extended to our care coordination providers, with the remainder to be covered in the future rate setting cycle. So not as much as we were hoping for, but still, I think, great partnership from the state, who could very well have just told us to wait for our rate to catch up with our encounter data experience. Moving on to our targeted case management program, we are, this is, well, first I'd like to point out that we have done a budget adjustment here to move some of our basic community aids funding into this program. So our actuals are showing that new unbudgeted revenue in this program, which makes it look like we're in a surplus situation when we're actually not. Once the fund transfer is catches up with this number here, will be much closer to on budget in this program. No major concerns here. We are seeing increased expenses. We've increased our crisis case management rates, but we're also seeing increased revenue from that increase in crisis intervention revenue as well to coincide with that. So this is one of the few programs that we've been able to offer a rate increase to our providers on, and I feel that we're on good footing in this program. our CCS program, you know, to the questions earlier about are we growing the community, this program continues to grow. It has started to plateau a little bit. We're confident that it will continue growing. But this is one of our great success stories that we'd like to continue to tell, and maybe buy that neon sign as was suggested earlier. We are currently projecting $31.2 million in total vendor expense in our CCS adult program alone. So slightly under our budget for the year, just because the population is starting to plateau a little bit in the most recent quarter, but still a great success story that we really, this program didn't exist prior to 2016. And as you can see here with the distinct clients served, in 2018 was under 900 and is now getting close to 1,700 unique individuals served each month. Our CSP program, similar story here. We are showing probably a little bit more surplus than actuality, just because of that transfer where we're moving basic community aid funds into this program to be consistent with how the 2022 budget is constructed. So the final reports that you'll get next quarter will show this program is on track to be on budget with that change in effect. Again, this is a program that we are actually seeing increased revenue in because clients are maintaining their Medicaid coverage at a rate that we had not seen in the past. So that's great news for our revenue, and we are giving our providers a rate increase on January 1st, 2022, which we hope will cover some of the increased labor costs that many of our providers are experiencing. So that's all we have for our dashboard. Happy to answer any questions.
Do we have questions? One item that in the past we were very concerned about, and I haven't seen it reported recently, and so trends, how is it trending? These legacy pension costs that are assigned to BHD, how is that trending?
Yeah, that's just part of our budget. It's something that we are actually don't even look at it unless we're in the budget process. So it's not even on the top of my mind. I'm not sure if Chris Walker, if you're on the call here, if you're able to comment on that, but that's an amount that's assigned to us each year through the budget process, and then normally does not change throughout the year. So unlike that active fringe number that I talked to about earlier, that we're actually experiencing surplus on and getting credit for that, our legacy pension number, we are assigned a budget number at the beginning of the year, and we are charged that amount all year long. I believe we saw a slight uptick in that in our 2022 budget, but it was an amount that we were able to absorb.
This is Chris. Actually, and it is kind of a rare occurrence, that part of the surplus that they're projecting for us is in the legacy fringe accounts, both healthcare and pension. So they are looking at us coming in about $800,000 below in one and $700,000 in another, so about $1.5 million savings from the budgeted amount. So that's good news. Rarely do they adjust those, but obviously they must be doing much better.
Okay, I stand corrected. Thank you, Chris.
Sure.
Now, I mean, I sort of want to believe that the aging of the population is going to have a positive effect on that legacy obligation. Am I mistaken about that?
Yes, from what I understand, the county as a whole has about 8 years, 20 years before we're over that pump. As everyone on the call knows, county has a pretty unique pension situation where there are substantial pension costs for a, well, now minority of county employees who were given access to a much more generous benefit, allowing some to retire much earlier. Many of the, those who retired earlier have access to full health care benefits paid for by Milwaukee County in retirement, a benefit that now active employees have no longer have access to. So I think there is still around a decade of pain to go through, for lack of a better word, but as the retired population ages, the problem will eventually get better. There was an article in the paper, I believe it was either today or yesterday, that there is progress being made on the front of sales tax, increasing potentially sales tax in Milwaukee County to help resolve that problem faster and fully fund Milwaukee County's pension liability.
The other question is, you know, with Granite Hill coming on board, I believe they're going to be fully on board next year. And so the dashboard is going to change, I would guess, in with regard to inpatient, probably also PCS. And what's the timing of that change?
Correct. So starting in 2022, we will no longer have our, well, we'll still be reporting on our own operated inpatient settings and psychiatric emergency room settings until we are able to safely close those operations. So you'll still see those on the report probably throughout 2022, just to keep awareness of those financials. As soon as we have substantial costs related to Granite Hills and the Mental Health Emergency Center, you'll see a new quadrant on the report for those services, a new page on the report for those expenses related to the services.
Okay. Any further comments, questions? Back to you, Jody.